Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, as we continue to go verse by verse through the Gospel of John, we find ourselves in chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 43 to 47. And Father, we are so grateful that no matter what, we can still open up your word and hear from you and have you speak to us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would speak into our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. John 1, looking at verses 43 to 47, the title of this message is Come and See, Part 2. Come and See, Part 2. Now, the last time we were together, we saw two of John's disciples following Jesus, and they were wondering where Jesus was staying, and he responded by saying, Come and see. And they came and never left. The reason why is when you have an encounter with Jesus, your life will never be the same again. We went in great detail with this last week, but I'm telling you, it stands to be mentioned again. The proof is in the pudding. The proof that Jesus Christ is in you is your changed life. If your life is not changed, then Jesus, you haven't had an encounter with Jesus. You cannot be the same and say you have an encounter with Jesus. He won't leave you the same. These disciples, they were so convinced. They were so changed by what Jesus did for them. When they had an encounter with them, they remembered the very hour. They said it was the 10th hour that our life was changed. And so to it, you know. When Jesus has changed your life, when you've had an encounter with the risen Savior, I'm telling you, you will know the very moment. I believe the reason why many people don't know is because they've only had an encounter with church and not an encounter with Jesus. And it's unfortunate that today you can have an encounter with church and not have an encounter with Jesus. They had an encounter with Jesus and it changed their life, and they never left him. They continue to be with him. Now, we pick up the story in verse 43. Look what it says there in verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Now, I want to bring to your attention, what I want to bring to your attention is the heart of Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 10, he says he came to seek and to save the lost. And this was demonstrated in how he found Philip. To find Philip meant that he was looking for him. Notice how the first part of this verse says that Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. He wanted to go north into Galilee because he knew Philip was going to be there. He wanted to go and find Philip. It means that Jesus is into finding individuals. He went into Galilee. In John chapter 4, when we're going to get to it, it says that he needed to go through Samaria. Jesus really didn't need to go through Samaria. He could have followed the regular course and to go around, bypass Samaria, go through Perea to go up to Galilee. But it said he needed to go through Samaria. Why? Because there was a woman by the well that he was going to touch. So he said he wanted to go to Galilee because he knew Philip was going to be there. The Lord is into touching individuals. Sure, he's into touching nations and people and all that kind of stuff. But he touches nations and people by touching just one person first. And he knew that Philip was going to be there. Do you know that as Jesus wanted to go through Galilee because he knew Philip was going to be there, I believe Jesus is going through Newport News right now. And I believe he's here today because he knew that you were going to be here. Because he wanted to touch you. As he's looking for you, will he find you like he found Philip? Will you answer his call when he says, follow me? Will you answer that particular call? Because he's here right now looking for you. Because he loves you. Out of the 6, 7, how many billion people on this earth, guess what? He's looking for you. And for many of you, he found you X amount of time ago. And he found me almost 30 years ago. And he's here looking for you. Something else I want to bring to your attention. Notice how it says that the Lord found Philip, meaning that Philip was lost and needed to be found. I say this because oftentimes we use the terminology, well, I found the Lord back in 1972. Well, no, we don't find God. He finds us. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So the Lord found Philip, and I believe he's looking for you. And maybe you've been sensing the Lord tugging upon your heart, drawing you to himself. Let today be the day that you say, Lord, the game of hide and seek, which means I hide, you seek, is over. I want to follow you like Philip did. Look what it says there in verse 44. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Now Bethsaida was a city located on the northeast shores of the Sea of Galilee. And it says that it was the city of Andrew and Peter. Now, Mark 1, verse 21 and verse 29 says that Peter and Andrew were from Capernaum. But this verse says that they were from Bethsaida. So is there a contradiction here to folks? Yeah, I told you that Bible is full of contradiction. Here's one right here for you. Well, no. You know what the solution is? They moved. That's the solution. They grew up in Bethsaida, but later moved to Capernaum. Why? Don't miss this point. Because Capernaum was where Jesus set up his headquarters. So Peter and Andrew moved, don't miss this, to be closer to Jesus. So often people move solely based upon economics. A job. And the last thing people think about is whether there is a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church in that area. Too many people assume that good churches exist everywhere, and no matter where they go, they will be able to find one there. And this is not always the case. Because I get the messages on Facebook. I get the letters sent to me in the mail. I get the phone calls coming in. Well, you know, we really should have never left, and we're struggling to find a church, and blah, 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 blah. Peter and Andrew moved to Capernaum to be closer to Jesus. So the next time you think about taking a job or military assignment in a certain area, make sure that this move will enable you to be closer to Jesus. And watch this last point. This point is really where it kind of goes in deep. And don't just make that move to be closer to family. Folks do this all of the time because there's a lack of trusting the Lord. And all of a sudden they say, well, we're going to go and be closer to family. You know, family is that little extra little safety net just in case things don't break off, things break off the wrong way. We can, that family is a safety net. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Is God in this thing? Is this move going to bring you closer to Jesus? Or will we hear from you later? Hey, how's things going? Well, we're loving that. We buy our family. We love that, that sort of thing. Well, what about church? What'd you say, Pastor Tony? Church. What, are you plugged into a church? Well, no, we're not yet. You know, we're still looking. But our family, everything's going good with the family. And I just shake my head. Now, many of you who are in the military, when Uncle Sam say go, you have to go. We understand that. And I'm not, those are the exceptions, but what I'm saying is those who have control over those things. Some of you, when you're E-nothing, you don't have any control. Uncle Sam said, get over there. You get over. You pack your seat bag and you get on over there. But those of you a little bit up in rank, you get to pick and choose a little bit. You better make sure. You better be certain that this move is a move that's going to bring you closer to Jesus. You know, I've had people do this where people have gone away and they left because of economic reasons, a job. Yeah, we'll get more money. And they end up with 50 cents more an hour. And they take their job and you know what? All of a sudden they say, you know, we're coming back. Because it was there where we were the closest to Jesus. And so we're coming back. And I've had people do that. And I've had people come back as a result of that. And so here, they move to be closer to Jesus. Look what it says there in verse 45. It says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Notice how it says that Philip found Nathanael. Now, Nathanael's name means God has given. Now, the thing that blows me away is that in the Jewish community, they always name their children after some kind of characteristic or aspect of God. Something God did in their life, and as a result, they would name their child after that. Nathanael's name means God has given. And so it was something maybe that God has given them or something. They say, you know, our next child, we're going to name him Nathanael just so we can be reminded and so this child can be reminded of what the Lord has done in our lives and in his life as well. Today, folks choose names. Well, let's go on the internet. The top 10 names that people choose from 19 so-and-so was this. Well, in 2013 is this. And they have no clue what that name means. Well, it's just cute. It's unique. And kid to be in the fifth grade before he'd be able to spell a name. And it's like, really? And then they do it with no regard of what it means, what it stands for, what it means in another language. All of a sudden, another language, their name means Satan is Lord, but they don't know. They over here in America, and they don't even know. But here, Nathanael, his name means God has given, and that was his Jewish name. Now, he's known in the other Gospels as Bartholomew. Now, so if you read Bartholomew, or if you ever read and say, well, in the other Gospel, we don't read anything about Nathanael. Well, his name is Bartholomew. This is his Jewish name, and Bartholomew was his surname, and it means Bartomei, or son of Ptolemy. And so, but his Hebrew name is Nathanael. Now, here's the amazing thing. John is the only one who calls him by this name. The other gospel writers refer to him as Bartholomew. Now, there are three things I want to bring to your attention in this verse. Number one, Philip's encounter with Jesus was real because the heart of Jesus to seek and to save the lost became his heart. He went out and found Nathanael. This is always a true sign that you belong to Jesus. His heart will become your heart. You will be excited for the things that he is excited for. When you are excited about Jesus, you can't help but to tell other people about him. It's like one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. His heart of love will become your heart of love. His heart of forgiveness will become your heart of forgiveness. And so number one, the heart of Jesus became Philip's heart. The second thing I want to draw your attention in this verse, notice how Philip knew the scriptures. He mentioned Moses and the law, which refers to the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then he referred to the prophets, referring to the major prophets and the minor prophets, the major prophets being Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the minor prophets, Hosea, Zephaniah, and those kind of things. They call major and minor prophets not because one is more important than the other, but because of the length of their books, major and minor prophets. Meaning that he quoted these things, meaning that he had been reading and meditating on the writings of the scripture. And one way to really be an effective witness for Jesus Christ is by knowing the scriptures. Familiarize yourself with the Bible by reading it, studying it, meditating on it, hearing it taught in Bible studies, and watch and see how the Lord uses you in a powerful way. Now, don't be deceived into thinking that you have to become some Bible scholar before God can use you. No. Nor do you have to have a degree in biblical studies before you can share with people about the things of God. No. It reminds me of the story in John chapter 9 with the blind man. And how the blind man, after he was being grilled by the religious leaders, they were questioning him and really letting him have it. He said, look, I don't know about all that. But he said in John 9:25, he says, all I know, I was blind, but now I see. And if that's all you know, that you were blind, But now you see, then you tell it. If that's all you know right now, I'm talking about right now. Not that you've been with the Lord 10 years and you're still talking about, I was blind, but now I see. No, you should know a little bit more in 10 years. But right now, if that's all you know, that you were blind, but now you see, then you share it. You share it. You share those things. You say, you know what? I was blind in my sin. And Jesus came and touched my life and forgiven me of all of my sin. And now I can see clearly. I see clearly that I can see past my own situation. I can see past my hurt and my pain. I've been forgiven of all of my sin. Therefore, I extend that forgiveness. I see things clearly now. And this is what you share with people. The third thing I want to draw your attention is notice how Philip's knowledge of the scripture caused him to be looking for the Messiah to come. Notice that. So when Jesus came, it was easy to receive him because he was already looking for him. I believe the same thing is true for us. As we read and meditate on the scriptures, we're going to be looking for Jesus to return a second time. As I read the book of Revelation, as I read the book of Ezekiel and Daniel, and as I see the news, I'm looking up for the Lord to return. Because Matthew 24:33, Jesus said, when you see all of these things, well, all of what things? Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilences, diseases, all kind of strange places. When you see these things, know that his return is near at the doors. And Jesus also said, when you see these things taking place, these are the labor pains. For those of you women who've had babies, you know when the labor pains come that baby is soon to come. So we're seeing the labor pains. And that means that Jesus is soon to return again because we're seeing the labor pains. But if you don't know the scriptures, if you don't know the word of God, if you don't know Matthew 24 or the book of Ezekiel says, or Daniel or Revelation, if you don't know what those books are talking about, you'll see what's going on and just say, whoa, things are really bad. There's always some war going on. Somebody rumored they're going to go over there and do this to this person. There's some new disease that's taking, and you'll be like, whoa, things are really getting bad. But for somebody who's in the scriptures, they say, oh yeah, these are just the labor pains. And they're looking up and looking for the Lord to return. Look what he says there in verse 46. The first part it says, and Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, Nazareth was an isolated city. It was like living in Hicktown, USA. It was a city that was unimportant. It was out in the boondocks, you know, way out there, forgotten, forsaken. And what surprised Nathanael about Philip saying that Jesus was the Messiah was the fact that he knew the scriptures that said that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. Quoting Micah 5:2, and not Nazareth. Now, you have to understand that Daniel, it could have been something there. By his remark. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Because Nathanael was from Cana, some 10 miles north of Nazareth. Could have been some kind of rivalry or something going on. Hey, look at anything come out of them hicks, them out of the boonies up there with them folks up there. Could have been a little something behind that. Could be. We don't know. But he wondered, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And I just wonder, we have to be careful and make sure that our bias, our little rivalry, whatever we have with some group of people or some coworker or somebody, we have to make sure that rivalry don't cause us to miss the Lord and what the Lord is doing in folks' life. You from where? Huh? Is anybody saved there where you live? See, we got to be careful. Because this is the kind of stuff that almost caused him to miss Jesus. And if it wasn't for his knowledge of the scripture, I believe he'd have missed him. That rivalry or whatever, that bias that he had towards those in Nazareth, I believe he would have missed the Messiah. But his knowledge of the scripture saved him. It saved him. And so Philip, how did he respond to this? Well, the last part of verse 46, he tells us, Philip said to him, just come and see. Just come and see. Now, Nathanael raised a legitimate question, but notice how Philip wasn't thrown off course by his question. This is something to be reminded of when you're talking to people about the Lord. Don't get thrown off by their questions. There are some questions that's worth answering, but there are some questions is designed to get you off course and to get you to start talking about Adam's belly buttons and dinosaurs and the ice age and all kind of other stuff that have no bearing on eternal life at all. But notice he didn't get off track. He didn't get off track at all. He brought it right on back. He just said, you know what? You just got to come and see. He said, I can't defend this Jesus of Nazareth right now. I just know I've had an encounter with him. And based upon my encounter, I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Psalm 34, verse 8. And he couldn't defend the Lord intellectually. He couldn't defend him theologically at that time. He just knew he was real and just said, you have to come and see. And sometimes this is what you have to tell people. You have to tell people that are trying to question you on the job and something they found on the internet and some weird show they saw on the History Channel with a bunch of experts saying that Jesus really wasn't real and he really wasn't born. But they were experts. You should have passed it on to you. Next time you need to watch that show.
No,
I don't. Whenever I see anything on the Bible that's on TV, I'm always one eyebrow up already. And then when I look and read what it's about, I say, here we go. It's some quote unquote experts. Well, you know, if Jesus wasn't real, there was just somebody that called themselves Jesus and, and another expert. Yeah, I agree with him. And he got Dr. So-and-so from the university or whatever. Yeah, this Jesus isn't real. And there'll be people that say that to you and you say, you know what? Y'all can fight about that stuff over there. I just know I've had an encounter with him. And he's real. He's changed my life. I was blind, but now I can see. I can see the idiotic thing that you're believing. I can see that. I can see what you're saying is not true. That's one thing I can see. I was blind before, but now I can see now. And that Jesus is real and he's coming to me. Nobody can take that away from you. No one can take away what Jesus has done for you and what he's done in your life. No one can take that away from you. Look what he says there in verse 47. Said, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. Now notice Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. I like that. That's good. Just give kudos to Nathanael because even though he had questions and reservations, he accepted Philip's invitation to come and see for himself. I love it how Jesus saw Nathanael coming. And the Lord sees you coming as well. He sees you coming baby steps. And he knows you have questions. He knows you have reservations. But thank God you accepted someone's invitation to come and see. You accepted and you came. With all your questions, all your reservations, and you accepted to come. And I'm thankful for that. So what happened next? You have to stay tuned to next week. And we'll see what happened as the world turns. Let me conclude with this. Once again, we saw the invitation was given to come and see. We saw once we accept Jesus's invitation to come and see, we will have a heart to find other people and tell them to come and see. If you don't have this kind of heart, then you need to check your heart and see if Jesus is really there. And spend time with him in prayer and Bible reading. And over time, his heart will become your heart. Finally, when you invite people to come and see, be ready for any questions they may raise about church and Christianity. We get ready by being in the Word of God, by reading it and studying it and meditating on it, memorizing it. And when we do, God will use us like he did Philip and Nathanael. And I believe Jesus has come here today and said, follow me. Are you going to accept his invitation? Or will you go out here and go back to your mere existence of life And I've said it many times before, you have not started to live until you realize that your sins have been forgiven through Jesus Christ. Until you accept Him as your Lord and Savior into your heart. You haven't started to live. You just merely existed on this earth. But life is when you have had eternal life injected into your heart. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundant. Life, the Greek word is sozo. It's not only a quantity of life, but it's a quality of life. And so life that the Lord wants to give you through Jesus Christ, by you repenting of your sin and accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can do that today because He's here today. And He has said in this message, come and see. Are you going to come? Are you going to accept that invitation? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your great love that you have extended toward us. And Lord, I pray for those who are here. I pray that they will heed your call to come and see. Draw people unto you by your Holy Spirit. Forgive sins. And Lord, I pray for those of us who already know you. If we don't have a heart to seek and to save the lost, Lord, I pray, touch our hearts. We need a touch by you, Lord, to light a fire in our hearts to come and see. Move in our hearts, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.